Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paul Enos and I talk with Mary Lau of the Retail Association of Nevada. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ty Cobb, John Galtney, and Chris Wicker. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We are always pleased to welcome the program Mary Lau. She's the president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you back on the program, ma'am.
Hi, Sam.
Wanted to start off with a conversation that occurred last week with Mike Bosma. And in the closing moments of the pundit panel, he talked about just the threat of the margins tax is causing businesses not to come to Nevada and causing businesses that are already here to want to leave. Is that the response that you're getting?
Absolutely, Sam. Unfortunately, history repeats itself, and the people that decided they needed to put this initiative on the ballot and stuff don't seem to care about economic development. If you go back to the 2003 session, that session cost us 2,500 jobs, just that session. I mean, nothing to say about when the company would have moved in here, the growth of jobs.
And that was from a national bank that was going to put its headquarters in Nevada.
National bank headquarters. We ended up having conversations on other areas that were restrictive to commerce. That cost us an additional 2,000 jobs. So between 2001 and 2003, 4,500 jobs for that day. Now, who knows what the growth of those companies would have been and the growth of those jobs, plus the economic advantage. And what ended up happening is South Dakota got the company, and South Dakota and Phoenix, Arizona have grown into financial capitals that we could have been. But just having the conversation, it didn't make any difference that it was defeated. We do not promise and keep our promise on economic security in this state. We're asking you to come to Nevada, invest in our state, hire people, and then every 2 years fight taxes that aren't necessary at this time. And that's the one thing that they just won't listen to. This governor's absolutely right in the approach that he's taken. And if you tell me to take a breath, I will.
No, that's fine.
But
you keep going.
When we turned around and developed this modified business tax, which a lot of people say is horrible because it's a tax on people, I disagree, and I maybe with some of my members even, because it gives a certainty to business on what they're going to hire, what they're going to do, what their costs are going to be. You can't determine what your costs are going to be if you have a partner called the governor, government, taking part of your money. So you sit there and you have that tax
passed. An undeterminable part,
absolutely. You don't know what's going to happen. You go, okay, whatever I'm going to make, they're going to get this much. So how do I plan for my future? But we turned around and overproduced with this tax, gave back $300 million. Then the economy stumbled and fell. But at one time, this tax was overproducing. The governor says, let's give this tax a chance to prove itself. Let's remove the sunsets, which we support keeping those taxes in place. He wants to keep them in place, not remove them. But keep that money coming in and then further develop this state and see where it's going. I mean, we put out an economic bulletin the other day that shows we believe and we've proven applied analysis that this state is starting to recover. Once the fracking thing that comes through that you had on a program a while back or the other day or whenever it was, that shows economic development. That shows growth in this state. Let's move this state forward. I mean, now you're trying to pit business against people again, and you're also trying to put the legislators under a gun to do something. I don't disagree that the Supreme Court had a different responsibility. They had a responsibility just to look at the law and put in their opinion that said, we're not saying if it's a good tax, bad tax, or in between tax, we're talking the law only. But sooner or later, unions and people that want money out of this state have to learn to work with the state, too.
Do you see the legislature writing their own version of something like this to be competitive on the ballot?
For a margins tax?
Well, not necessarily for a margins tax, but something that would be something that people could vote for, because whichever of the competing things got the most votes would then become the law.
I don't know that they will. I think you will see something come out of this session as far as cleaning up tax code, revamping some of it. I mean, this speaker is very, very serious on what she wants to do to reform the tax code and stuff like that. And things that are done responsibly and sort of a revenue neutral that allows the base to grow, the base to expand, and the state to collect the revenues and stuff. And then you have to stabilize that. You have to collect the revenues. You have to do things with your tax department and stuff. That's the legislator's job. That's what they do. Why should they turn around and then and give it to a vote of the people? We have situations in advance, and hopefully, you know, cooler heads will prevail. We have had situations in the past where there's been things on the ballot, and everything turns around, and everybody worked together with a gun to their head, I'll admit it, but they worked together, and then the unions themselves didn't work to pass their initiative. They turned around and said, okay, fine, we got the attention, this is it. But they're killing themselves all over the United States by demanding more that can be reasonably expected instead of working with people as a team.
All right, let's take a break. More with Mary Lau when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal, and technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mary Lau. She's the president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada.
Mary, it seems like the leadership in the legislature have taken the tax discussion seriously. In past sessions, it's kind of been, we're going to talk about it, but you're not going to see a bill until the last, a week would be generous of the legislative session. It's kind of been this hide the weenie game on taxes. Do you feel hopeful that this leadership is going to be a lot more upfront about exactly what it is we're looking at and start having these discussions early on instead of playing that silly game that we've done in the past?
I absolutely do think that's going to happen because I'm going back to old school here now. I mean, I've been around probably, some will say, too long. Mrs. Kirkpatrick is a female version of a Joe Dini. She is probably going to, I will be shocked if she doesn't go down as one of the best speakers that we've ever had, along with Mr. Dini.
Why?
Because she is a policy person. And that's what she is interested in, the policy in Nevada. Now, she didn't start this the minute she was sworn in as speaker, saying we need to revamp this tax code. Don't forget, she was chair of the tax committee and government affairs. So she knows all of the taxes, where they go and everything else. There was an interim committee study again, but she was right on top of it. So she's been formulating and working on her plans and her idea for quite a while. And she's going to do it jointly with due consideration. And will there be compromises? Of course there will be. That's the process.
Last week on this show, Mo Dennis said he was concerned about the tone of the legislature from some of the previous sessions. Do you think we are going to see a different tone this time? And we're going to be a week into it by the time this airs. Do you think that different tone is going to have an impact on some of these major policy discussions?
If they can maintain that tone, it absolutely will. There was a culture of cooperation for so many years, and then all of a sudden, politically, it became, we're almost doomed. You became rhinos or dinos or whatever, which is absolutely asinine. You have to work together. You're not there representing your party. You're there representing your constituents.
Do you think a lot of that was based in people, whether it was Richard Perkins or Stephen Horsford or Dina Titus, different people looking to matriculate up to higher office? It seemed that a lot of that polarization came in. Do you think it was because of those political campaigns? They were always looking for a step up?
I think politics, unfortunately, always enters into policy. And you're right, it does. They're trying to prove their mettle, prove their worth and everything else to go into another location instead of recognizing that if they just do a good job and become outstanding in whatever it is they're doing, they're going to get the recognition and they're going to grow. Like a Mark Amadei. A Mark Amadei is a policy person every step of the way, and now he's a representative for the state of Nevada, and he'll go down as an incredible leader and have a history behind him and stuff because he concentrates on policy. People concentrating on careers. But I had Jack Jeffrey one time talk to me because he and Joe Dini actually set up the caucus system only so that they could have a way to talk and a way for everybody to get together and kind of keep it a little bit quiet and really, really discuss issues. Well, all of a sudden then became a banding together, cowboys against Indians, us against them. Now we have multiple caucuses, Hispanic, black, whatever. Whatever happened to we're just elected officials doing policy for this state and working with people to do things, and I think that's where they're trying to drive it. They're going to have people they have to spank occasionally. They're going to have to remand people in and saying, okay, you're just being mean-spirited for a purpose. We're going to get along if I have to kill you.
All right, but let's bring up the fly in the ointment here, which is that there are two other groups that the legislators have to deal with. One is lobbyists, and let's point out that both of you at this table are lobbyists, and there are lots of lobbyists that represent all different kinds of groups, and then also the legislative council. You know, how does that play into this amicable relationship with
legislators? I think the change of leadership will change the culture in the legislative council too, because there was some stonewalling before. There was some, you know, well, they're not the majority, so don't get out their bills on time and stuff like this, and I think that will change. I mean, not every bill is going to be heard unless you want to limit the bill, what they can introduce even more, because there's not enough time, and some of it's just ridiculous, and that's okay. But when you've got leadership helping legislative council bureau and working with them, and it's open and they don't put up with any crap, okay, fine. Lobbyists get a bad reputation, but you know, Paul and I are in a different situation because we are advocating for a specific group. That's it. I don't, you know, I support what the truckers do because my retailers can't get their stuff on a shelf without it and stuff like that, but I don't interfere with his issues. I work in cooperation with his issues. But I don't have anybody that I need to balance against another one. We're not contract lobbyists with multiple clients. But having said that, they're not bad, too. Your obligation as a lobbyist is to inform and work with legislators. Give them the pros, give them the cons. I always joke about the fact you can lie to a legislator one time. You're fired. Your credibility's gone forever in the halls. You have nothing to rely on. You're just dead in the water, and that's it. And sooner or later, your client or your group is going to figure out you're a waste of money, time, and effort. But a real lobbyist and a real advocate gives both sides of the story, gives the policy issue, and then you have to get out of the way. And you have to let the process, we call it, is it soup yet? You got to let it cook. You got to let it come to the surface, and then you work on it some more.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada. Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, injured in an accident.
Do insurance companies stack the deck against you with high-powered attorneys and expert witnesses? Yes, they do.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
A new day is dawning in Nevada. A day that puts you in charge of your finances. A day when one financial institution can provide you with the cash you need. Loans custom tailored to fit your situation. Check cashing and gold buying services when you don't need a loan at all. Money orders free every day. It's all about you and your financial needs. Experience the Check City difference.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services. And here's another satisfied customer to tell you why.
My name's Christina Squaw. I'm the property manager at Sawmill Heights Apartments. We use Evergreen Carpet Care because they provide the best service. I've shopped around and looked at other carpet cleaning companies, and they just really clean the carpets the best. They're professional, on time, and they're great to work with.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever Evergreen.
I'm attorney Chad Golightly. You need confidence knowing that your attorney will be there when you call, that guidance to the legal process will be made easy, and that you and your family's best interest will be put first.
Golightly in Vanna, 222-3333. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel as always. John Galtney is here, President Emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan. And Chris Wicker, spokesman for the Washoe Dems. Pleasure to have you all here. Boy, immigration is really, really gaining ground. The AFL-CIO put out a big piece yesterday afternoon in favor of this, the president pushing it hard. You've got this group that apparently has been working on this, a bipartisan group in the House that's been working on this for the last several years. And it's interesting to see. You were there. The last time the immigration reform was passed in a major way was in 86, that came out of the Carter administration starting in 1977. Does this look to you as though this has the best chance to pass that we're going to see in maybe a generation?
There are various types of immigration reform. I think the people around President Reagan considered the immigration decision of 1987 to be the biggest mistake of the administration, maybe next to Iran-Contra.
Why?
Because it legalized the status. It was intended to stop the migration of illegals coming into the country. It did anything but. It encouraged. I think the aspects of the legislation Republicans are looking at now are to ensure that this does not give a path to citizenship to those people that are here illegally, that have gotten ahead of all of those who are waiting in line to go through the process in a legal manner. And that's only one aspect of immigration reform, though. I think what other Republicans are also saying is, hey, we need to encourage the immigration of the high-tech people through the H-1B visas that right now we are so restrictive about.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Ty is absolutely right that the enforcement side of that was really not put in place, and there was still a great opportunity for people to hire illegals long after that. Plus, there was also a rush of people across the border thinking that they were going to be able to have another amnesty. But it actually took 27 years before we're even in this position now.
Yes, but I think the Republican Party can read the data concerning what happened with the Hispanic vote, and at some point they have to find a compromise. As many Republicans that I associate with, I think, would now accept the fact that a lifetime green card may be the acceptable way. That was pretty
and
close
let's explain,
to the,
just,
the
yeah. Let's explain that, because what that means is you have permanent status, permanent resident status, but you're not able to vote. That's the only thing you're not able to do. But you are able to travel back to your homeland, which you, if you were an out-of-status alien, you would not be allowed to do that.
There's some debate that all of the social services and many of the other issues are still up for grabs as to whether that basket will be all-inclusive or will not be. Obviously, with things like Social Security on the edge of collapse, whether you're covered by Social Security, not covered by Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all of those issues. So it is a little more complicated than the vote.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in a study done by the New York Times a few years ago, they said that illegal aliens were contributing $6 billion to the economy that they would never get back from the economy.
Well, you know, I think it leads to the problem, the reason why we need to do something. It's become possible because of the shellacking amongst Hispanics that the Republicans took in the election.
I didn't notice that.
I think some people noticed it. And, you know, I just heard the Republican, I think, in charge of this bipartisan effort in the House talking, and it sounds like the real battle is going to be, like you guys talked about, is whether there's going to be a path to citizenship for the adults that knowingly came here illegally. And the Republican congressman that was talking, you know, kind of, to me, I thought was kind of silly. He said, well, it's not, we shouldn't think about politics. It's just they don't deserve a path to citizenship. And I think it is about politics. The politics are involved because the right to vote comes from being a citizen, and that's where the fight's going to be. And I think that a lot of Republicans assume that Hispanic citizens will vote for Democrats forever, and I don't think that's a safe assumption. But I think that's where the battle's going to be, this path to citizenship.
Ty, would it be more acceptable to at least have a system in this country where if somebody is an out-of-status person that they can gain status? Because isn't that the biggest problem, that they can't gain status unless they leave the country and go back to their country of origin?
Yeah, well, 3 points. It wouldn't be a green card. It would be a red card or whatever they want to call it, but you wouldn't have green card status, which is quite important. Number two, the studies that have shown the economic benefits or burden by illegal immigration are all over the screen. And most of them, for example, the Texas Minnesota studies, as well as work done by Heritage and more centrist organizations, say overall it's a net drain on a society. Point number three, yes, I think the politics of the immigration thing have certainly caused the Republicans to want to reconsider their positions on this. But whether or not you would give this group of people the right to vote is going to be the key concern, because right now, at least, Chris, they overwhelmingly would vote Democratic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think right now, yes.
You know, John, you get the last 30 seconds here.
The biggest issue here, interestingly enough to me, is that unskilled immigration into the United States has the most profound effect on the lower income segment of our population.
That's right.
Which generally is voted Democrat, which is a fascinating approach to me, and the fact that they regularly vote in favor of something that opposes their best interest. And so I'm not sure how all this is going to come out, but it's pretty clear that in the long run, this can negatively affect the low-income segment of the United States.
And just a brief comment here from me, which is if you read Range Magazine, C.J. Abbey's magazine, it's interesting to read about California ranchers who say, find me the Caucasian workers who will come in and do the kind of work I need for the kind of hours I need. They are not to be found. That's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
So do you guys have a favorite teacher?
Yeah.
I did too. And you know what's great is that News 4 has an excellence in education program that you can nominate them for.
Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan of News 4. Each month, we take your nominations and find one special teacher to recognize. It's our way of highlighting all the wonderful teachers we have in our area. Each month's winner is honored at their school and featured on News 4.
News 4's Excellence in Education is a proud sponsorship with United Federal Credit Union and Reno Aces Baseball.
America's best home energy saving investment you can make is in replacement windows and doors by Amerimax. Sold and installed in one day by Beautiful Homes of Nevada. Amerimax windows and doors can save you 40% on your home's heating and cooling cost. Now, for a limited time, Beautiful Homes of Nevada will match or beat any window price or package offers, plus include a roof solar power ventilation system. Call Beautiful Homes of Nevada now for a free estimate at 443-0344.
What's this? Mattress Discounters President's Day sale ending? But Mattress Discounters is the largest selection of memory foam mattresses under one roof. Comfort-pedic, eye comfort, optimum. Even a queen-size Sealy Gel memory foam mattress for just $497. And wow, 4 years interest-free financing on the entire Tempur-Pedic Cloud Collection. The President's Day sale is ending soon.
Mattress Discounters.
Attention! Held over the massive $12 million warehouse inventory sell-off at Ashley Furniture Home Store Reno is held over. The trucks are rolling in with tons of America's number one brand of furniture selling at prices far too low dimension. Every living room, dining room, bedroom, mattress set, recliners, occasional tables and accessories is priced to sell. Hurry, don't miss it. The Ashley Furniture Home Store's $12 million warehouse inventory sell-off. Going on now at Ashley Furniture Home Store Reno. The time to shop is now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Remember, guests coming up next week, Tim Crowley of the Mining Association will be here. Brought to you.